All right. Well, let us pray this evening as we get ready to hear God's word read and preached. Oh, Lord, our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day you've granted to us of Sabbath rest and worship, opportunity for some of us to do good and to meet the needs of others on this day. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to begin the day together with your people in corporate worship and to close it this evening with the preaching of the word and corporate prayer and singing. And we ask now that you would give us strength as the day comes to an end, that we might have minds that are sharp, and that the Spirit would be teaching us, and that we would be learning from your word, and you would be working in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we'll be looking at Ruth chapter 2 this evening, verses 1 through 23. That is the entire chapter for those who have not memorized chapter 2 in Ruth, which probably not many of us, but now you know. 23 verses we'll be looking at. Ruth 2, 1 to 23. Remind you that Ruth teaches that God is always present, working all things together for the good of those who love him. And in this theme of love, we're working through Ruth, and we do see the love story between David's grandparents, great-grandparents, that is, Ruth and Boaz. Boaz will be introduced to this evening here in chapter 2, the ancestors of the God-man, Lord Jesus Christ. But there is more to the book than just a good love story to read. There is more here. I know that disappoints some of the young men, that there's more than just a good love story to read. But we see here in the book of Ruth that it displays God's sovereign love and providential care for his people. It's always pointing towards Christ, our Redeemer. So Ruth, chapter 2. This is God's word. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now, listen, my daughter. Do not go glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother in your native land and came to the people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some of the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an epeth of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "This, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. What do y'all think if we went out, kind of searched through the church grounds, through the grass and the yard, and I know it's a little wet and soggy, but we looked for an ant colony, and we found that ant colony. And, well, I don't know, maybe a big one, small one, whatever it may be. And we looked at the ants, and we examined them, and we looked at how they moved around, did their ant work, and lived and built the colony. Do you think those ants have any concept that they are living in the church grounds here? Any concept that the grass is taken care of in the summertime when it's growing, and the different things are provided that they take advantage of that are here in the area? Well, I heard no's. I think you're right. They don't have any idea. And I don't want to be as cruel as to say that that we are ants per se, but there are times, sadly, that that people, even Christians, act somewhat like ignorant ants, not realizing the greater reality that we live in, the greater reality that's amongst us, that God has placed us in. And so as we look at chapter 2 here in Ruth, what I want us to see is that, dear Christian, you live in God's purposes, care, and sight. Dear Christian, you live in God's purposes, care, and sight. And we're going to look at three things quickly this evening or in our time together. First, in God's purposes. Second, in God's care. And third, in God's sight. So in God's purposes. God, as we see here, is working all his perfect will in the life of Naomi and Ruth and even and Boaz, all those who were there in Bethlehem in this area. He is working all things out across his creation. Perhaps you've heard the saying, hindsight is 20/20. That idea that you can look back at your past, things that have happened, and then you see, oh, okay, well, that makes more sense. Whereas when you're living through things in the moment, oftentimes it seems like a lot of chaos or confusion. And we can't see the future. We're not able to do that, but we're able to look back at the past and see it laid out before us. That's the idea behind hindsight is 20/20. Well, there's another saying that kind of ties in with that, and that's that providence is best read backwards, meaning that so we know that whatever happens is God's will. It's his providence. It's what he has ordained. But in the midst of it, right now in this very moment, there's an aspect that we're called to live in faithfulness, but we may not be able to particularly determine exactly at this moment God's will. That's something that comes clear to us after the fact, and we're able to look at history and say, oh, that's God's will. That's what he worked out. That was his providence that we saw as we look backwards to understand God's providence best. So chapter 2 starts off with a little bit of a revealer, a tip-off. We get like somewhat of an explanation, a helpful tip from the author here as it begins, and it talks about a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, and his name is Boaz, and he's a relative of Naomi's now dead husband. So there's some setting up happening so that we can then know, maybe some foreshadowing, that the Redeemer, the kinsman Redeemer, has been revealed, who we're about to meet, so we can understand the significance in the meeting that happens as Boaz meets Ruth. Well, God is working through an earthly kinsman redeemer here, Boaz, that we're going to see. We're introduced to, as I just read through chapter 2. But as we've mentioned, that Boaz is a picture, he's a type. He's pointing forward to the great reality of Christ, who is our redeemer. You know, Ruth is showing the reality and the truth of the faith that she has. She has claimed Jehovah as her God. She has shown that profession as she said it before Naomi, went with Naomi, went in faith that the Lord would care for her, comes to Bethlehem, comes to the promised land, to Israel. And another aspect of Ruth showing that she's trusting the Lord and that God will care for her in the ways that he has established in the ways of Deuteronomy 24, she is going to the fields. God had laid out in the Old Covenant provision in Deuteronomy 24 that told those who were coming and harvesting the field that when certain things fell to the ground or corners of the field, there were actions that were to be left behind, and that would be for those widows and the poor to be able to come and to gather so that they would be taken care of. They wouldn't be left destitute without food at the harvest time. And no doubt Naomi has explained these things to Ruth. Ruth is believing in them, and she sets out to seek to gather the dropped barley. And then there's this interesting, the way the author writes here, maybe you picked up on it, it almost comes across this way a little bit. The author, he's saying, well, who would have guessed? Who would have expected? What a chance. Ruth goes out. And where is it that Ruth happens to land? What field does Ruth walk into? I mean, who would have expected? She walks into Boaz's field. And then, chance upon chance, what luck. Not only that, but while she's there, Boaz shows up. Huh. I mean, who would have thunk? I mean, there's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek. The author's making it clear. God is providentially caring for Naomi and Ruth. God is the one who brought Ruth to the exact field of the kinsman redeemer, and he comes and sees her, and we see this picture of Boaz and his godliness and the way that he addresses the men in the field, and the men in the field address him, and they speak blessings upon one another in the name of the Lord. There's a clear picture that revival has come, and there's been a movement away from that downward spiral in Judges that would have brought the famine that sent Naomi's husband and family away, and now we see the Lord is pulling his people out of these things, and there's, at least here, we see evidence that that revival is coming, that the Lord is blessing and caring for his people. And again, we see that there's no coincidences, no chance happenings, no luck. Everything is under God's control. And knowing that everything is under God's control is what allows not only Ruth in this moment, but all of us to have contentment as we face the different trials and challenges in life, that we're able to rest in God's sovereignty and live faithfully in him in all things. So you see in the beginning of the chapter, Ruth doesn't say to Naomi, let us stay here and see how God might care for us. But Ruth says, I'm going to go to the fields. I'm going to go take heed of what God has given as provision for widows, for those who are in our situation. And she goes and she does that. She's acting faithfully, and God is sovereignly acting as well. So we see God's purposes in the midst of this, and then we come to God's care. And God's care, we see here in chapter 2. Ruth and Naomi receive God's care through Boaz. The Lord uses the generosity of Boaz, this kinsman redeemer, to care for them. It's a reminder of how the Lord works normally. We don't normally see miraculous, supernatural things happen, but God uses means, and one of the means God uses, particularly in the local church, is the context of the gifts that he gives each other, each of us, the body of Christ, to care for one another. It's the generosity of God's people that the Lord uses in caring for the body of Christ. So we see this care coming from Boaz. As we read, Boaz, he tells Ruth, stay here. This is a safe place. Don't leave my field. Then he tells the workers, the men who are in charge, he says, I get it. This woman you've identified to me, Ruth, she's a Moabite. As a Moabitess, that is someone that we don't have to right now. But if we go back to Deuteronomy 23, we don't necessarily have to care for her, but she is a stranger. She is connected through the family with Naomi, and we see how faithful she's been to Naomi. We're going to take care of them. So drop a little extra. Make sure that she has what she needs. And he tells Ruth, hey, you get thirsty in the midst of this, you need food, come. Don't stay over there. Not only are we going to provide for you out of the field, but I want you to come and be able to enjoy the care that everyone here in the field is getting as they're working and gathered together. In a sense, he's treating her like a member of the covenant community, as a member of the family, his family that's working the field, the extended family there, those who are carrying his workers. She's been invited in to receive the blessings that they are as well. You know, there's you see where Ruth comes and asks the question, why he's doing this? Why are you caring for us in such a way? And then he speaks a blessing upon her. But then he explains why he's doing this. So he didn't only just speak the blessing, but he puts some action behind it. There are times where all we can do for folks, maybe due to the situation, the circumstances, due to where we are at, where they're at, whatever it may be, there are times where all we can do is pray for folks. And that's a good thing. We don't ever want to put that down. But God often gives us opportunities to not just to pray and seek to bless folks, but to act and to bless them in our actions. And that's what we see here with Boaz. Boaz doesn't just come by and say, oh, may the Lord bless you and fill your belly, Ruth and Naomi, and care for you. It was wonderful meeting you. Say hey to Naomi and take off. But he then does what needs to be done to make sure what we see here at the end, where an epith of barley, where Ruth is literally carrying home like more than she can almost handle to take back to Naomi. And the Lord again is using Boaz, using his people and their generosity to cause this thing to happen. You know, it's a, and I say those things, but to add in, it's a blessing as a pastor to get to watch. It's a joy to get to see people do such things. And we see that here. We pray for one another. We love on one another. We care for each other. And I know that's something we'll continue to do and we all rejoice in and are thankful for. Boaz's abundant care for Ruth and Naomi, it's a type of Christ. It points to the realities of God's abundant care, of the care that we receive in the Lord Jesus Christ and how he looks after us. As I mentioned, Ruth is heading back. She thought that morning, headed out. She left trusting the Lord that he was going to provide. But one can only imagine the context that she was not expecting how God provided. That she was expecting and hoping and praying, Lord, provide enough that Naomi and I may eat today. And yet she comes back with a large amount of barley and all the food left over she couldn't eat when she was in the field working that was given to her. And we see this picture of the way the Lord abundantly cares for his people. When we cry out to him and we ask for his provision and for him to care for us, and the Lord does out of his abundance, the abundance of his grace and the abundance of his possessions, which are all things, he cares for his people. And we see that throughout church history, in our own lives, and in each other's life as we watch and look and see these things happening. This is how the Lord cares for his folks. Think about the reality of the fact that God doesn't just save us, but Christ tells us in John 10 that we're not just saved for a future in heaven, but that we're saved for life abundant now, that Christ pours out, that we enjoy. And that is a picture and a helpful understanding of what it is, the Lord, this unexhaustible grace that he pours out upon his people and his care. So we see God's purpose, we see God's care, and the last thing we see here is in God's sight. Naomi's blown away by how God has not given up on her and Ruth as she previously thought. You remember last chapter, as we were looking at, where was Naomi at? Naomi was in a place where she was speaking to the other women of Bethlehem how God had dealt harshly with her. It seemed that there was bitterness that had crept in. She was not seeing God's gracious and abundant care. She was seeing in his providence a hardness that had come. It had come to her. And so we don't see this, but in context, one might think that when Ruth tells Naomi she's headed out to the fields to try to glean for them, and she says, "Go, my daughter," one might wonder what was in the heart of Naomi at that moment. What was it that Naomi was expecting? Perhaps the Lord had already worked, and she was expecting abundant provision and care. But it seems in the response here that in her way she rejoices, that might not have been her expectations. But when it comes, she does rejoice in great ways. So we see Naomi rejoicing because Ruth comes back with this abundant amount of food, but at the same time, she sees the connection that's been made. And she's thinking, out of all the fields in Bethlehem, to see providentially how God has worked it out, that Ruth went and ended up in Boaz's field, one of the closest kinsmen redeemers, the ones who could do what Naomi cried out could not be done in our last chapter, which is to care for Naomi and particularly for Ruth and redeeming them. So we see this picture here. Hopefully you're seeing it as it's working out. You know, God is in control. God is caring, and God has his people in his sight. God is pursuing, as it were, Naomi and Ruth here. You think about Ruth. What are all the things providentially that happened that the Lord might bring Ruth to faith and then bring her into the promised land? All the different things that happened for God to do that. And then we see Naomi as well. All the things that the Lord did that then Naomi might experience the covenant blessings of his mercy to her, the way that he brought these things about. One of our partner churches, our supporting churches in another state, their senior pastor writing and thinking through on some of these things in Ruth, he wrote these few sentences. This is what we're going to conclude with this evening. So listen to what his thoughts were regarding this. I think it gives us a clear picture here and helps us to see the beauty of the Lord having Naomi and Ruth in his sights. "The great seeker, the great pursuer of the affection and devotion of your heart is God himself. He isn't interested in mere lip service, but neither is he put off by your backsliding. The Father, Jesus says in John 4, is seeking true worshipers. He's in hot pursuit of your heart. You may have drifted far away. Some of you may even have allowed bitterness to creep in the midst of suffering, to poison your trust in Jesus. But the Lord, who has not stopped showing kindness to the living and the dead, wants your heart for himself. He is working with you, speaking to you, calling you in his word even now to come back to him. He wants to start a spiritual thaw in your soul, and I wonder how you will answer his overtures of mercy." As we see our great God, the one who loves before he's loved, the one who pursues the people that he redeems. So dear Christian, you live in God's purposes, care, and sight. We have the opportunity now to come together for our corporate prayer meeting. So we'll conclude when we move. We'll conclude in prayer when we go to corporate prayer in just a moment.